The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. We're here to continue our expectations series today, if you've been listening, and I hope you have. We've done about 10 of these so far that have been out, and tonight we're going to talk about Josh Johnson and Marcus Williams, one player from the offense, one player from the defense, as always. And joining me to do that is the artist known only as Yuri. Yuri, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Very appreciative for you having me on here. You have a lot of great guests come through. I was a little disappointed. I didn't get my favorites, but I am a very big fan of Marcus Williams, and I'm sure as once we get to him, you will hear me rave about him.
All right. Well, fair enough. Let's start with Josh Johnson. Certainly the undercard again on this one. That's the way we've been doing it this year. Haven't had a real strong feeling about starting with a lesser player, but we will tonight. Josh Johnson, of course, 38 last month. The Ravens moved on from Tyler Huntley this offseason, who went on to sign for the non-guaranteed vet minimum with the Browns. A little surprised the Ravens didn't want Huntley if that was the price tag.
I was a little surprised. I'm like, well, they have the connection there. He's been there. He knows the system. For vet minimum, I mean, that made sense, right? But it didn't. I guess it wasn't in the cards for them. Maybe he wanted to go somewhere else. I can't speculate on that. But it does at face value seem a little odd.
Yeah, I thought so too. Josh Johnson was the third quarterback for the Ravens in 23. He didn't see any playing time. That year, he did have two career starts with the Ravens in 2021. A 1-8, uninspiring 1-8 career record in a 15-year career, which we'll talk about it in a minute. But Josh Johnson's time with the Ravens, how would you characterize it?
I mean, I always had a positive opinion about him because if I'm not mistaken, the second start he had was against the Bengals the last week of the season in 2021. Mm-hmm. And if I'm not mistaken, I think he threw for like 250-ish yards or more. I always had a positive opinion about that game. So in terms of his career here, you know, we haven't seen a lot, obviously, and we hope to keep it that way. But I do have a positive opinion of his career so far.
Yeah, that is really when you have Josh Johnson, that is what you want. Let's see, in 2020... Those are the playoff games I'm looking at. Okay, so when did he play here? He played against San Francisco in 22. No, for San Francisco. Never mind. Yeah, you're right. It was the finale. They lost 41-21 to Cincinnati, or actually the third to last game. And then they played the Rams and Pittsburgh to close out that season. That was a very disappointing end to that season. A team that had led the entire AFC through about 11 weeks or so, or 11 or 12 weeks. Josh Johnson has had, to say the least, a journey or a number of journeys in his NFL career. And you can't have a discussion about Josh Johnson without mentioning that what now is an epic list of teams he's played for. He's played, actually, for only seven teams, but he's been on a total of 22 stints with more than seven teams and in four different leagues. Let's go through this. Tampa Bay, San Francisco, the Sacramento Mountain Lions of the UFL, Cleveland, Cincinnati, San Francisco again, Cincinnati again, the New York Jets, Indianapolis, Buffalo, Baltimore, the New York Giants, Houston, Oakland, the San Diego Fleet of the AAF, Washington, Detroit, the LA Wildcats of the XFL, San Francisco again for a third time, the New York Jets again, Baltimore again, Denver again, no, not again, San Francisco for a fourth time, and then Baltimore for a third time. Once again, 22 stints mixed against four different leagues. It is a head shaker, and even Vinny Testaverde has to be left feeling not as well traveled relative to Josh.
The San Diego Fleet, what a name. I mean, that's such a great sports team name. But to be honest, I want that life. You know what I mean? To travel. You know what? If you're not going to start, you get to travel everywhere. You're getting paid good money. You get to see the United States all over. I mean, more power to him, to be honest. I hope he gets to all 32 if he can.
I bet that's a guy who really knows an efficient way to find a nice apartment in a new town. I seriously bet he does. Now, he may have all kinds of people helping him with that, but he's probably at this point just advising them and saying, okay, make sure they don't have a big deposit and I don't have to, you know, be out too much worth of rent if I'm only going to be here for 3 weeks or whatever. It's obviously been a journey for him. This year, his position is a little different. He probably is at least guaranteed the number three quarterback spot again. I think he's number two on the depth chart, as the Ravens will initially provide it whenever they do. But the Ravens drafted Devin Leary in the sixth round, a little bit of a surprising pick to me. How did you feel about that?
I was surprised. I was very surprised. If they were going to go quarterback, I had other ones that I was a little more, positive of in terms of processing and arm count and all that stuff. But they wanted a backup quarterback, as we discussed before, Tyler Huntley goes. So it did make sense. But at the same time, it feels like when I have a good quarterback like Lamar Jackson, and I don't want to spend a lot in the backup. If Lamar goes down, I really do. I'm not in the business of winning that year. So that, I don't know. The backup quarterback ideal is like, maybe he can step in and win you a couple of games, but we'll see. He does have really good arm talent.
A guy who spent 4 years playing very well at NC State, played his last year in the SEC, took a step back with 25 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, 88.7 passer rating. There were some other things. Led the nation in batted passes at the line of scrimmage, which is something that I'm not particularly happy about. By the way, really hard to have a high completion percentage when 4.9% of your passes get knocked down at the line of scrimmage. That is a big hit to your completion percentage right there. But Leary, definitely a difference of stylistic fit with the Ravens. You did not see him as an option quarterback. The Ravens would really have to reshape their offense in a lot of ways if they had to go to Leary for an extended period of games.
Yeah, I would agree with that. They would probably shift a more pro under center play action type of offense with him, which is something I kind of want them to do already. But in order to fit his needs, you would have to do that. And he also is a little bit of a gunslinger. So he probably, adding on top of the 4.9% batted balls, he's also going to turn the ball over a decent amount in terms of interceptions. So.
Yeah, I think that'd be true at the NFL level. And he had a very good record at NC State of not throwing interceptions, but that went away in the SEC. And the SEC is a hell of a lot more like the NFL than the ACC is. I do kind of like the idea of the Ravens having a completely different look they're throwing at the opponent if they get into this. I mean, this almost seems like Kirk Cousins coming in and stepping in for RG3. I think it was Kirk Cousins way back then, when after Nada injured him in the game against the Ravens. At least it's a different look. You're not going to have any useful advanced scouting. It'll make all of your advanced scouting not useful the week that Devin Leary steps onto the field.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And then, circling back with imagine how much Devin Leary can learn from someone like Josh Johnson, who's been around so many teams. Yeah. And I'm sure Josh Johnson is a playbook. He's a walking playbook because of how many offenses he's been in and operated. So I'm sure those two hopefully can feed off each other and move forward.
Wouldn't you think it's likely that Johnson is a great clubhouse guy to get this many opportunities in this many leagues, this many times? I mean, a lot of coaches had to speak up on his behalf. He's been back to organizations, four times with San Francisco, three times with Baltimore. Those teams don't want troublemakers back. They're too good for that kind of crap. So I've got to feel that Josh Johnson is an outstanding teammate just based on that.
Yeah, absolutely. And without a doubt, he will have a coaching, if he wants to, he will have a coaching job after his NFL playing days are done. I'm sure one of those teams will call him back.
Yeah, he'd be, you know, I think it's certainly possible that he could be a coach, and I'm not putting that down at all. You know what else? It just seems like naturally he'd be very good at is doing some sort of player development component, which a job that Harry Swain used to have with the Ravens, where he's advising kids who are new to the NFL on how to get a checking account and how to get insurance on things and, you know, just get all their paperwork put together so they don't have trouble with that. And, you know, how to get an apartment and what they have to do and just the other advice that comes with it, like how to not hang out with your old friends who are trouble. You know, don't let the leeches continue to hang around your life and whatnot. I think he'd be very good at that. You know, he's just got a wealth of experience in with regards to that.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think he really is a jack of all trades. It's interesting. It's interesting. All the things he's done, where he's been, at least a lot of pliability in life, and especially in football.
All right, let's talk about what a good season is and what a great season is. I'll let you just start off with what's a good season for Josh Johnson. I know it's kind of hard to define.
So I would say a good season is that he plays 2 to 3 games, one of them being hopefully the last week of the season because the Ravens have won so many games, they don't need to play the last one of any importance. But let's say Lamar gets hurt. He steps in for those 3 games and has a record of 1-2. I think that would be a good season for him. Now, a great season. And I'm going to be very short.
Hold on. Wait. Well, okay. I'll do my good, and then you get to see your great. Yeah. So in terms of good, I'd just say he holds on to the number 2 with the 3 role for the entire season, picks up another year at the vet minimum. So that's good salary for him without ever seeing the field. And that's at the 60th percentile. If he doesn't ever see the field, that's great. I'm not really talking about a little bit of mop-up duty because I'm okay with that. I'm certainly okay with a week 18 start. I actually had that in the great season. But the Ravens go to him if Jackson must miss a game. Larry speaks glowingly of how much Johnson has helped him with some specific elements of the game. So obviously, if a sum of Johnson's wagon is hitched to Leary's development.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And then a great season, and I'm going a little bit of a opposite approach, is a great season, he doesn't play.
Okay.
He doesn't play outside of the last game of the season. He doesn't play because if he's playing, you know, obviously things have went wrong. If he's playing more than one game, obviously things have went wrong. So that's, you know, that's really my and obviously all with what you added on as well with, you know, being a sponge that everyone, you know, in the quarterback room can really feed off of and just, you know, establish himself as quarterback too.
Okay. A great season for me is plays well in the preseason to solidify the number 2 role. The Ravens still have not made a change by week 18, and he starts because the Ravens have clinched their playoff spot/seed. He plays well enough that he's back up for the playoffs, so he's still number 2 in the playoffs, and stays a consideration for some team in 2025. Doesn't have to be for the Ravens. He's proven the job is where the job is, and he'll have to go to it. So whether or not Leary you know, morphs into that guy or is ready to be that guy next year, or even the Ravens have to look for another guy because Josh Johnson will be 39 next year. But some team hires him for 2025. And I don't know if I'm Josh Johnson, do I hang it up anytime soon if people are paying me into my early 40s to hold a clipboard?
I don't think so. I really don't think so. I'd keep going.
Yeah, me too. All right, let's move on. We spent enough time on that, but Marcus Williams is clearly the main event for this. Played the second fewest snaps of his career this year. He obviously missed some time again. 765, had a career 695 in 2022. It was kind of a difference for me in terms of the quality of his play, though, because in 2022, he had a fantastic per-snap year. He's on pace for a Pro Bowl if you extend out his numbers for a full season. In 2023, obviously the injury really affected his play, certainly in terms of the tackling, but he really didn't track the ball as well as he had the previous year. What were your thoughts about it?
Yeah, and you made a really good point with those first couple of games of 2022. He was like, wow, like we got this guy. Like he was against the Dolphins. You saw him stretch all over the field, you know, coming the ball on the boundary, the random tip drill pick that he had. And then last year, you know, unfortunately just gets injured again, tears his pec. And you saw a play decline a little bit, but I still thought he played well enough last year throughout the season.
I mean, it was not terrible, but he was not up to the Marcus Williams level and not worth the money they paid him. he had been one of the league's best tackling safeties. And last year he couldn't put himself in a position to tackle. It was too painful. And the Ravens obviously kept him out there. They didn't try and rotate. They didn't try and give the job to Geno Stone or otherwise fix the back end with a player like Worley. Although, you know, they did that for a game, but they didn't continue to try and find another safety who would be a free safety type. And what's maybe a little strange is that they haven't tried to find another true back end guy this year. Now, not like Hamilton can't do that job. He can, but I'm just afraid it kind of minimizes who he is.
I would agree with that. And that's been one of my main focuses, is what their needs are that are left. And I feel like a back-end free safety is probably at the top of it, because you don't want to isolate Hamilton to having to stay there when you play too high and have him to go back there and play safety. You want to be able to use him how you used him last year, which is a weapon. And right. So I'm a big proponent that they need another starting capable safety when they go into split safety.
Yeah, and I am too. And they did so well with it last year, I think they'd be foolish. I still wonder why Daryl Worley's phone has not rung, why he's not signed yet, but there probably is some reason. He played very well in the game he played back there, didn't miss any tackles this last year. You want that. You want some good coverage. We saw an unbelievable manipulative job for him in the second half of that first preseason game that they won. I mean, having Daryl Worley on the field basically won them the football game all by himself. And he's not playing against the greatest players at that point, but he still has some ability to read the quarterback very well, know where to be on a play. And that really showed up there. And I'd like him to get another chance if the Ravens aren't concerned about some component of his health or him not being completely fully recovered from his injury.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And it also surprised me as well, because even though they signed a bunch of UDFA safeties and they drafted one at the back end of the seventh, there's really two safeties in the roster that you feel at least somewhat confident in that could step in, start right away. So I am surprised they did not call his phone. At least carry four or five safeties throughout the season. I'm surprised that his phone was not called.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good point, because if you want Hamilton in you used often as a nickel, I won't even say all the time, but often as a nickel, you need to have four safeties active on game day, because you can't be taken out of that by the fact that somebody gets hurt on the back end. And that actually happened a couple different times, including the Hamilton expulsion, the correct word, ejection for the hit in the one game. I mean, it's just, you can't afford to be taken out of that. Hamilton himself was hurt for a couple of games, and then Hamilton had to revert to the back end because of injuries, both to Stone and Williams, I believe, at different points. So, and Worley, of course. So you don't want to be put in that position. So you have to have four to make three if you want to do that. If you take it a step further and the Ravens go to playing some dime this year, then they need to have a dime back as a fifth safety, probably active on game day. That guy's going to be a heavy special teams guy. So Kane or Braid, either one of them might be the guy that they put in that role, but neither of those guys, in my opinion, is the right guy to have on the back end.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And there's a lot of interesting free agent names out there in terms of who can maybe do that. One name I will toss out there, and I know it is a Marcus Williams talk, but I think someone who would pair well with him is Tracy Walker from the Lions. I think he can do that dime back role that you're talking about.
Can you play the back end?
Not really. I was looking at more like the dime back skill set if they wanted to, you know, overload the safety position. But obviously, you know, Justin Simmons and all the other names that are out there, they can play free safety for you.
There are guys. Williams at this point, and I really like this, by the way, they've not made any bones about the fact that Williams is a free safety. During the Martindale era, they always talked about having versatile safeties. Our guys can play up, they can play back. All that means, that's just code for we don't have any true free safety. And the Ravens do not have that problem right now. They spent a lot of money fixing that hole that they had on Marcus Williams. And when he's been, you know, when he's been healthy and when he's been on the field in 22 in particular, he's fantastic. So getting him back to that level, really making sure that he's worth the rest of this contract, is one of the keys for this year. But if anything were to happen to Marcus Williams, I don't even know what the Ravens would do right now. I think they'd almost have to go to the street.
They would. It'd be like signing to Sean Jackson throughout the middle of the season and hoping it fixes it. Cause he is a very important piece to this defense, allows you to run a lot of coverage, especially cover one and cover three. And you can put your corners in single coverage and not be worried because you know you have Marcus Williams in the back.
Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious high-potency gummies, top-shelf flower, home-baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary, you can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tab, also on them. Service plan required for watch or tab. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Again, who at even 75% strength can make players on the ball and not let the ball go over top of them? I don't remember a play last year where the team beat us deep. I really don't.
Right. There. Marcus Williams has as great as he's been and as much of a rangy free safety as he was with in his time with the Saints, has some really bad years on his record for giving up high yards per target numbers. So this is it's a spotty record, but take a look at it for yourself. But he's got a couple of years over 10. And I think his career number is kind of close to 9, but his years with the Ravens have been better. And so the Ravens have found something that works well. And actually, I think what McDonald has done with Williams the last couple of years in terms of making him a real threat that quarterbacks fear on the back end has made the corners better. They probably in that process, because they play so much of too high shell to show the other teams that to start with, have probably hurt their run defense from it. That's certainly what it looks like on paper. I think it's a conscious choice, and I think it's been a good one.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And you made a really good point about it making the corners better. Why I was very high on Mike McDonald in his time here, because mm-hmm. It felt like the corners were really never on that Wink Island that we so fortuitously got to experience. But not only that, and you also made another good point about the run defense. I think that was the first time in my life watching the Ravens. They didn't have a top 10 run defense. They were like 16th. They're like league average. But that's kind of the way that the NFL is, where if you can play too high, make tackles at the 5 or 6, build leads on teams, then that's where you have a player like Marcus Williams, who's a dangerous player on the back end. Teams start throwing the ball more because they have to catch up with you because you just built the lead. That's where the whole turnover and where you start, you know, getting your money's return on them. So.
Well into this season, the Ravens were on pace to set the, I think it's the post 2000 record, but I might have the year wrong because I know how I remember how far I went back approximately of the best yards per attempt number since then. And the team that leads that is the 2008 Steelers, of course, went on to win the Super Bowl and ended up with the pick to eliminate the Ravens in the AFC Championship game. But that was a great defense, and the Ravens were on pace to be every bit as great. I mean, any way you look at this, we have to kind of shake our head at 2022 and the opportunity lost. I'm sure none of us is really happy with that. But to me, the loss in 23, AFC Championship loss after the 23 season, is probably worse than either the 19 playoff loss or the 06 playoff loss to the Colts. And they're the three worst games in team history in terms of losing big opportunity games.
I would agree with that. I've tried my best after I went back and watched the film to not revisit that game because it was just so frustrating because there were a lot of plays to be made, and it was a lost opportunity. It was.
Bummer and a half. All right. So you gave us some good choices for the split field role. I appreciate that. One of the things I like about Williams, besides of a lot of his other elements of talent, is that he does a very good job of on-field emoting. I think he often has had times where he's had to reprimand or talk to a player after a play. He's clearly the leader of that secondary in terms of directing things. You know, if you're talking about two players and what they are, the last episode I talked about, Roquan Smith is the shield for this defense, whereas the sword is Kyle Hamilton. Well, if you want to talk about just the secondary, then Marcus Williams is the shield in that metaphor. But he does a good job, I think, in terms of not being overly emotive when he has to tell something to somebody after the field. One of the things I really love to look at, what goes on after the play. I have to look at it for the offensive line a lot, but also looking at it in the secondary, looking at, you know, some of the early games in Patrick Queen's career where he had a lot of trouble being in the right spot in coverage. You see multiple players getting frustrated with him and talking to him after the play. It's a lot of good information there, and it's actually one of the places with the broadcast gives you more information than usually than the all 22.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And there's always like a scale I have, and there's, you know, the Marcus Peters scale where he's very emotional, very upset. And I think he's a good balance between like the Marcus Peters of the world. And I'd say, I'm trying to think of a player that just
LJ Fort.
Yeah. A player just does nothing but play football and just gets off the field. Has his head down. Doesn't care.
Okay, LJ Fort to me is the coolest cucumber in terms of giving advice because he'd almost do it with no head gesture, no head wag, because he was a veteran who had been a lot around life, and a low five on the player when the thing was over. So it was as positively given as it can be. If we're talking about players that advice was the most well taken, I think Ray Lewis is the shining star of Ravens history in terms of being able to do that. And some of the times in Ravens history, just him picking up another player personally. Okay, I'm going to go off on a slight tangent here. 2003 game against Seattle where they came back and won 44-41 in overtime. The Ravens were down 10 late in that game and they needed the football back. And Adalis Thomas committed a personal foul that gave Seattle a first down. And first thing Ray went over was basically hug Adalis's head and then kind of tap it on him, but he didn't have to really say anything. It didn't appear like words were exchanged or anything. They might have been, but it you couldn't tell. The very next play, Ray Lewis pried the ball away from their fullback, Max Strong, I believe was the guy, and the Ravens had it back. And it's just that kind of turning it around like that is better than anything. And I'm sure Adalis Thomas was ready to run through a wall for Ray Lewis at that point.
Yeah, I would agree that there's always positive reinforcement. I like players like that. I like players that are vocal. I do. I really do. That's why I'm a big fan of Marcus Williams, because anyone that plays with energy is good in my book, even sometimes if it's bad energy.
All right. So let's talk about what's a good season and what's a great season for Marcus Williams. What do you want out of a good season?
Out of a good season, I would say staying healthy for the first time since 2022 and going back to being a more secure tackler as a safety, because there were as times, and it probably was injury related with the tackling. And then in terms of, you know, obviously staying healthy, holding down the free safety one spot and no one overtaking him out of some miracle. And then not only that, I would say in terms of, you know, playing on the back end, no one beating us deep, no one going bombs away on us, no pass offenses, just ripping through the secondary. And then in terms of playmaking ability, I would say four interceptions would be a good – I have high expectations of them. Wait till you hear the great. But I think four interceptions, a couple pass, you know, 10, 11 fall pass breakups, I think that would be a good season for him.
All right. That certainly sounds like a good season. I usually talk in more general terms. Sometimes I get specific with numbers, particularly with receivers, and I want a yards per target number. But in his case, I'm going to be more general about it. I wanted to play 14 plus games in a good season. That's really the minimum in a 17 game season that I could really consider being good in the 60th percentile is where I'm setting good. I wanted to produce on a per snap basis at a level that is slightly less than 2022, but better than 23. Okay, so somewhere between those two. Solidify the safety room with a top single high C2 player that allows Orr more freedom in terms of defensive scheme and positioning of Hamilton in particular. So that's really important. He's got to be the guy who makes it okay for Hamilton to play wherever he can. And they need another guy to support that as well. But Hamilton is the weapon they need to use against other teams a lot of the time, and moving him around is critical. Becomes a leader of the secondary in terms of alignment pre-snap. Everyone is still talking about the value of the options for 2025 and 26 at the end of 24. Now, there's no way he can be cut this year. He's got guaranteed money in his deal, so he'd have a big lot of dead money would be involved and a negative cap hit. But in terms of 2025 and 26, those years he can be cut. And so he's kind of at a crossroads season this year in 2024.
I would agree. He certainly is.
Okay. So do you want to go into a great season, or if you want to talk about that, you can too.
Oh yeah. All I was going to say was in terms of great season, I think it's going to be somewhere between this, but my expectation for him this year is 7 interceptions. The Ravens can, once again, to your point, run the coverages that they need. They can be freedomly ran. They don't have to constrict themselves into running a certain coverage because they have a depth problem at safety. So if he can go out there and be that, to the point you made about early 2022, go out there and be that dynamic playmaker on the backside of the defense, that quarterback sphere that no one will go over top us. And when they do, he punishes them more times than not. That's my great season vision for him. I really do hope he stays healthy and has a bounce back, because I have high expectations. I really do. I almost went crazy and said 9 interceptions, but reestablish himself as the top, one of the top 2 safeties, top 3-4 safeties in the league. He already is close, but just playing a full season to all the points that I've already made and reestablishing himself, I think that would be a great season. And to your point that you made, being worth the holding on to the rest of the contract throughout his time here.
Yeah. All right. I'll say, including in addition to the stuff for Hamilton, he's got to play all but one game, deliver his first Pro Bowl and in consideration for All Pro by returning to the 2022 per snap productivity for a full year. And honestly, I think that could be 7 interceptions if he were to do that, because he had 4 and no touchdowns allowed in 695 snaps. So you project that out, 6 or 7 interceptions seems pretty darn reasonable over a 17-game season. He becomes known for taking and assigning responsibility on the fly. That means pre-snap, or even making the kind of judgments that Ed Reed does. He's free to ball hawk and move around as he needs to. Now, obviously, you need to do that within structure. He's always going to have a back-end responsibility of some side, so he's not going to be rushing up the line of scrimmage and, rushing the quarterback whenever he feels like. Earl Thomas kind of thought he could do that. But he's a back-end guy. He has some leeway in terms of how he makes his reads and who he's going to go to, and he's going to be known as a guy who hopefully does that very well. Instincts as a ball hawk show up in spades, and especially when combined with Orr's other schemes. And when I'm talking about that, I'm talking about how they rotate that second safety into some other robber position down in the box, whatever they may do with him, and not place necessarily a pure split field. But I do believe the Ravens are probably going to stay starting with a C2 look a lot of the time this year, because I think Orr was a big part of that game plan with McDonald. And Orr will no doubt want to put his own stamp on this defense, but I just believe a lot of the things were very Orr-esque about the defense. Specifically, being a committed nickel team is the starting point for that. Orr will give Trenton Simpson the chance to play every down until that fails. He'll have the right to lose that job.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And you made a very good point about the coverages that they can run next year if Marcus Williams is playing up the snuff. Last year, it's almost like They took the cover two look pre-snap, and then they turned it into hard quarters. And what I mean by hard quarters is the outside corners would be lined up in the about 2-3 yards off, and then they would look like they're in man match, but they're really in the quarters. And the Ravens did that a lot last year, and they did it very well. And that's a pretty big reason why they were a triple crown defense, is because they ran a defensive scheme that is so fluid. You have all the pieces moving. You saw just recently Mike McDonald was talking about Leonard Williams dropping into coverage. He's like, I've never done that before. And that's something they did here, and it's something that worked out well for us. And to your point, I hope Zach Orr keeps a lot of the good stuff and, you know, reaffirms new things into it.
Leonard Williams, you mean like Michael Pierce and Matabike? Because those guys dropped into coverage a lot this last year for McDonald.
Leonard Williams was on he was getting interviewed today for the Seahawks. He's the Seahawks defensive tackle. Great. And they were like, he was like, I've never dropped in the coverage before. And then Mike McDonald's like, well, here we go.
I understood. So McDonald had a big year of dropping Matabike and Pierce. And he actually preferred to do that, it seemed, than dropping outside linebackers. And it was an interesting, very interesting defense. But what they got from those interior defensive linemen in terms of pass rush, I think, is one of the big things to look forward to for this team going into 2024. Obviously the group was very healthy last year, but they identified three guys who can all add something to the pass rush in Pierce, Matabike, and Jones.
Yeah, I would agree. Travis Jones is another Raven that I am very, very high on. And I do expect some, you know, if something happens where he gets a larger snap share, I expect him to produce, because there was a game last year where Quentin Nelson, right? Everyone knows Quentin Nelson, all pro, whatever. Travis Jones ate his lunch like multiple times. I'm talking about standing him up, flexing and then getting inside and breaking in. And you make a good point. That defensive line is a very strong backbone, and it really helps your defense to set up the way it did.
That evolution you're talking about has already occurred in terms of snap share going. It's right now the question is much like the one they had for McPhee or for Clowney or for others, even for Owe a couple of years ago, that you know, they have a guy who's the best player at everything on the team at his position group. I mean, he stops the run the best. He's the best pass rusher they got. That's certainly true of Clowney this last year. It was true of Owe a couple of years ago when they really overplayed him in terms of snaps. And I forget who else I said, but McPhee, another guy who was a hell of a pass rusher, still had a good first step, but he could also stop the run, and the Ravens didn't have a lot of run defenders, so they needed him for that, even though the guy played like 15 snaps a game the previous year, and you're asking him all of a sudden to play 40. And it wasn't a reasonable thing, and McPhee obviously was injured pretty quickly. With Jones, the question is going to be, when can the Ravens actually afford to have him off the field? This last year, I mean, he earned the job. He took Pierce's job away on third down. As the season wore on, they gave it to him instead of Pierce. Pierce still had a few snaps, but primarily he was the early season pairing with Matabike, and those guys did very well early on. And yet, even on a team with 60 sacks where things are going very well, they still made the switch to Travis Jones being the guy later in the season, which I thought was that was a big indicator of what they want to get out of Jones in 24.
Yeah, I agree. And hopefully we'll see it. And, you know, shout out to Michael Pierce as well, because he's a very solid, good player that you need on your defensive line. Go out there and just be a human shield and eat up the run.
Yeah, absolutely love Michael Pierce and his time in Baltimore. Last year to have his biggest year at this point in his career, it's a great extender for him. He's going to be playing this league for a few years now, and it's actually a little sad that the Ravens shortened his contract, because they would really love to have the last couple of years of Pierce's contract right now instead of just one.
I would agree.
Oh, absolutely. Wait. Did they re-sign him for 2 years? They did re-sign him for 2 years, didn't they? Yes, it was last year. They ended the contract with the 23 season, but then they re-signed him, I think, for 2 years. So,
yeah, they did. In the beginning of the offseason, that's why I do not remember.
All right. Well, Yuri, it's been a pleasure doing this with you. Why don't you tell Felix folks where they can talk football with you online or listen to any other content you have? I know you have a show with Voss.
I do. I have a podcast with Voss called the Ravens Way Podcast. We're on YouTube. Usually during the season, we're live every Thursdays around 7 or 8. During the off season, we're a little more, you know, busy trying to get other things done. And then on X, or formerly known as Twitter, you can find me at Yuri_Ravens.
All right. Outstanding. Other folks out there, if you'd like to be on a film study short of any sort, give me a DM on Twitter. They're always open. Recollections series is still open if you want to talk about an old Raven. And the other thing, I'm be looking for people to take one, and I can only give one per person, of a concerns podcast. And these are entering camp. What are your concerns about the Ravens? And I don't want to have 28 of these. I really don't think it a team like this really warrants that. So I'm going to be trying to frame these up in a way, probably 6 to 8 episodes, I would think, because, hey, we're football fans. We tend to worry about our favorite team and what might actually go wrong for them. We know this is a good franchise. We know this is a good team. We know they have Lamar Jackson. We know they're going to contend, or at least we're pretty sure of all those things. But boy, what could go wrong otherwise on a team like this? And you can still come up with a lot of things. Anyway, Yuri, thanks for joining me. I really appreciate you coming on. And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tab, also on them. Service plan required for watch or tab. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.